السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. Last week we touched upon, amongst other topics, the importance of being precautious in regards to wealth, being precautious of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and making sure no wealth comes into our possession which should not be there. Even if it looks like we might make a gigantic loss, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests a person in different ways. One way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests a person is that it looks like if I carry out this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will make a loss. I will make a loss of 10,000 pounds. I will make a loss of 1,000 pounds. Sometimes added to that is the fear that if I don't take this step, then financially I will struggle. There is an opportunity to take this job on. I know that from a Shari point of view, there is a question mark. Or maybe I know that from a Shari point of view, there is no question mark, but if I take the job on, because of where it is, because of where I will have to travel, I will struggle in my deen. Sometimes this is the case as well. This is also something very important to understand. I am digressing, but it is something in our obsession with the world, we have lost this. That when making any worldly decision, even if the decision itself looks totally permissible, a person should also ponder that in terms of my future, will this make my deen harder for me or will it make it easier for me? There is a new job offer. Oh, I've just finished college, I'm planning to go to university. And there is this university, there is that university. If I move away from home, down south somewhere to this place, there is a university that has a very high degree of expertise. Their certificate, their degree has a lot more value. And if you ask any mufti, that is it permissible for me to move there? Is it permissible for me to study there? They will say it is permissible, provided you don't break any of the rulings of Sharia. But a person should also think a little bit further. That if I move there, will that make my deen harder for me or will it make my deen easier for me? How much harder will it make it for me? What is the area like there? I will not have any family. My family home has a deen, mahol, a deen environment. If I move there, will I be able to practice upon deen? And because of not pondering upon these factors, sometimes to gain a little bit of the world, we make that decision which ends up with us destroying our hereafter. Money is something which comes and goes. Money is something which comes and goes. And even when it is there, it holds no guarantee. It holds no guarantee. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was his practice that he used to recite a dua after every single salah. اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. In the three sentences, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has, in a nutshell, described the mentality of a person in regards to wealth. اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت. No one can stop what you are going to give. That means you want to give someone something, you want to give them wealth, no one can stop it. No one gives me a job in the world, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give me wealth, He will give it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give me comfort. He wants to put a roof over my head and food on my table. And no one wants to give me a job and my pocket is zero, still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it. لا مانع لما أعطيت. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to give, no one can stop. First part of our mentality in regards to wealth. Second part, وَلَا مُعْطِيَ لِمَا مَنَعْتِ. What do you decide to stop, to keep away, that I'm not going to give this to this servant. No one can give it. I think my current financial situation, you know, I want a higher paid job. I want to earn more. And for this, I will take this avenue, I will take that avenue. Not caring whether it is within the limits of Sharia or not. Not caring whether it is beneficial or harmful for my deen. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided that that's not for me, that's not going to be for me, whatever I do. When a person keeps these two sentences in mind, then his intellect will tell him automatically that whenever I take any step in regards to earning wealth, then it should be in line with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if he is happy, then it doesn't matter if everyone else is happy or not. If he is happy, then he will arrange for my needs. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever holds fast to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he makes a way out from every problem. وَيَرَزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. And he fulfills his needs مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ, from where he doesn't even think of. What does that mean? That when a person is taking that step to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in his mind is that if I take this step, I will make a loss in worldly terms. Maybe a financial loss, maybe some other loss in worldly terms. And at that moment in time, he doesn't think, how is this loss going to be remedied? Maybe the thought is even in his mind that I will make this loss. As a result, my finances will not add up. I will struggle. At that moment in time, he doesn't realize from which direction the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is coming. That is exactly the promise which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made, that he will fulfill his needs, but it will be from a direction that he doesn't even realize. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. And whoever has reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ, is sufficient for him. To obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person must have reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like we said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test a person. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. That a person thinks, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ, do people think that أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا, that they say آمَنَّا, meaning they accept iman, وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ, and then they're not going to be tested? No, وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Just look in the past and you will see that all the people who accepted iman, they were tested to some degree or other. People who have high level of iman like the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, their tests were much more severe. And people with weak iman like us, our tests are small and short-lived. But when a person is in that test, then shaitan makes it look like there is no way out. So from today, we should make an intention that not a single penny in which we have any doubt that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleased with this penny will come into my pocket. Not a single penny will be saved in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is any doubt that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with this action will be saved. I will let it go if it needs to go. And for this, as well as a person having this seal, he will have to have knowledge. He will have to have knowledge of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are so many areas in which we, because of our lack of knowledge, we make so many errors. Let's just take, by way of example, the matter of inheritance. This is my experience, and the other ulama will tell you as well, that whenever you sit down with someone regarding inheritance, there are so many misconceptions. Some people think that if I give this person the share when I am alive, then when I pass away, then this person will not get anything. I'm just touching, I cannot explain these masail right now. I'm just touching on how many different misconceptions there are. Some people think, I have three children. One of them is well off, so he doesn't need anything. These are just from those examples. We the ulama, people come to ask for help and for guidance, we come to realize that those people who are not coming to ask for help and guidance, what must they be doing with the inheritance? How much haram wealth must be coming into their possession and the possession of others? Transactions, taking loans, giving loans. You have taken a loan from someone, you have given a loan to someone, Find out the Shari'i rulings. Like I said, I am just touching on these topics. So we understand that how much lack of knowledge we have, and as a result, how many errors we make. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith that la yahillu malu mri'in muslimin illa bi tibi nafsin minhu. Very, very important principle in regards to it. That the wealth of any person is not permissible except with the happiness from the bottom of his heart. What does that mean? That if someone is giving you something but there is pressure on him. I am collecting donations for a masjid. For a masjid. And I knock at someone's door. And I put undue pressure on them to donate. And because of that, they feel that the only way to get rid of this person is to give him a donation. Now there is doubt in that wealth. You're giving a gift to someone on the wedding. But the whole family has made a mahol that this, when this person is getting married, you must give a gift. Now there is doubt in that. And that wealth is permissible, which a person gives from the bottom of his heart. He doesn't give it from the bottom of his heart. You have made circumstances such, then that wealth must be avoided. Like I said, whether it is a masjid or for your own personal wealth. And like we said, if a person holds fast to these commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will look like he will suffer short term. In the long term, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look after him. I've mentioned this incident before as well, and I will mention it again. That my teacher and Shaykh, Zamana Salim Durat Sahib Hafidhullah, I've heard this incident from him. That there was one person who came to work as an employee under Hazrat. And he said to Hazrat that, look, in the previous place where I was working, I had this many number of hours and this was the wage. But upon the instruction of the workplace, I used to show my wage less, half of it. And as a result, I would gain more benefits. And that is how I was able to fulfill my needs. That the wealth from the wage from the workplace and some benefits, which because I showed less than how much I actually earned, I gained this many benefits. And the total of those two, I was just about to fulfill, able to survive. Here I should mention as well that if a person is not entitled to a benefit and he claims it, that is haram money. So this person said this. Now, Hazrat said to him that, look, we don't do it like this here. Because that is impermissible. And he said to the person that, look, this will be your hours, this will be your wage. You write it exactly as it is. And as a result, whatever happens, your benefits will happen. And at the end of the year, if there is a deficit, and you are struggling, or you need to take a loan, then come to me and I will top up the deficit, and then you can leave from here. So this person, he began working. At the end of the year, he came and he said to Hazrat that this is the first year I have had a surplus. This is the first year I have had a surplus. When a person takes a step to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shaitan gives him the illusion that you will struggle. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to test a person for a few days, he does. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a promise, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, that whoever obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will make a way out for him, then why should a person worry? And the year after that, he said to Hazrat that I made so much of a surplus and savings that I am going for Umrah with my family. So, in regards to wealth, let us have this mentality that come what may, it is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you need to follow. And wherever there is an opportunity to earn wealth, save wealth, but there is the slightest of doubt, I will ask someone. I will make sure. And from time to time, I will go into the company of the ulama to learn the rulings of wealth. If we don't know so we are doing something wrong, then how will we be able to stay away from it? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice among what has been said. Was that requested? Just stand up and fill in the gaps, please, because the masjid is already getting full.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya 'ala s-salah. Hayya 'ala s-salah. Hayya 'ala al-falah. Hayya 'ala al-falah. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. La ilaha illallah.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi wahda, wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da, amma ba'd, faqad qala Allahu tabaraka wa ta'ala, wa man yattaqillaha yaj'al lahu makhraja, wa yirzuqhu min haythu la yahtasib, wa man yatawakkal ala Allahi fahuwa hasbu, wa qala ta'ala, al-malu wal-banuna zinatul hayati dunya, wal-baqiyatu s-salihatu khayrun inda rabbika thawaba wa khayrun amala, sadaqa Allahu maulana al-azim. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يحل مال امرئ مسلم إلا بطيب نفس منه أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته ورضى اللهم عن الخلفاء الراشدين وعن سائر الصحابة فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أصحابي كالنجوم بأيهم اقتديتم اهتديتم اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم من أحييته منا فأحيي على الإسلام ومن توفيته منا فتوفه على الإيمان اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم واغفر لموتانا عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
أقيموا صفوفكم صفوف دروس فرمالي straighten the rows please ensure your heels are at the base of the yellow line on the masala stand shoulder to shoulder if there are any gaps in the saf in front of you please fill them in. الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى.
الله أكبر. سميع الله لمن حمد. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارق مصفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم.
الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.